When Gene Robinson was consecrated as the first openly gay bishop in the American Episcopal Church 9 years ago, he became a hero to many, but also a marked man. Since then, Robinson has been the target of countless death threats, and he's been accused of everything from trying to divide and bring down the Anglican Church to being the devil.
Love Free or Die tells the story of Bishop Gene Robinson of New Hampshire and the schism within his church around gay and lesbian rights. The documentary will be shown tomorrow night at the Somerville Theater as part of the Boston Independent Film Festival. It was directed by Mackie Alston, who, along with Bishop Robinson, came in recently to talk about it.
The film begins in 2008 at the Lambeth Conference in England, a gathering of the entire Anglican Communion, 800 bishops from 38 nations, representing 80 million people. Anglican church officials excluded Gene Robinson. He was the one bishop not invited. But as we learn in the film, and as he told us, he went anyway.
It seemed important to me that bishops from around the worldwide Anglican Communion be reminded on a daily basis that they had gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender faithful Anglicans sitting in their congregations, whether they knew it or not, whether they acknowledged it or not. And I was just simply not willing to let them meet for 3.5 weeks and pretend we didn't exist.
Early in the film, one of the more powerful and disturbing scenes is of you preaching in an Anglican church in London, one of the few that welcomed you. It was a big deal. The press was there, photographers. And as you began to preach, you were interrupted quite violently by a heckler who accused you of heresy. And I just want to play that piece of tape.
How discouraging that the Anglican Communion would be tearing itself apart because two men...
Because of heretics like you, sir. Because of heretics like you. You preach the gospel, but you depart from it. And I'm like, no. I've been writing the articles of our faith.
You preach the gospel, but you depart from it. After that scene, Bishop Robinson, you were visibly shaken. You admitted that it unnerved you. Can you tell me about what effect that had on you?
You know, I still can't see that piece of tape without my heart racing. You know, we didn't know if he had a gun or a bomb in his motorcycle helmet. You know, I think when we stand up for our rights, our freedom, our dignity, it does tend to bring out those people who just cannot fathom our humanity. Mm. And yeah, it did shake me up, not just the death threat, but, you know, I kept thinking, I wonder what experiences took place in this young man's life that led him to that moment.
Mackie, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to be there and to film that particular scene?
I had known for years. It's part of the story that travels with Bishop Robinson, that he gets death threats all the time, that he wore a bulletproof vest to his consecration. But it was on that day that it came, it really hit home. The price that Bishop Robinson had decided that he was willing to pay. And when this guy stood up, just in the middle of the sermon, his shouting, "Repent! Repent!" was so raw. And he, as Gene said, he was holding on to his motorcycle helmet. You couldn't see what was in there. His fist was in his motorcycle helmet. If somebody wants to kill Gene, they're going to kill Gene. You know, 80 million people know Gene's name and know that he's the person, or think that he's the person, at least symbolically, who's rocked the church in the last decade. And for a lot of those people, he's the face of Satan.
Bishop Robinson, by the end of the Lambeth Conference, as we see in the film, you express understandable disappointment that you never got a chance to talk to many of your fellow bishops. You couldn't even eat in the same place as the other bishops. What did you learn through that experience about being on the fringes of that conference?
The fear was so great there that bishops from around the communion that wanted to talk to me needed and wanted to do it in secrecy because they were afraid to be seen with me. And it just pointed out how frightened the church, the synagogue, the mosque is of a more open and inclusive way of understanding God. And in some ways, my exclusion just deepened my commitment to standing up for my brothers and sisters who really have suffered at the hands of the church, the synagogue, and the mosque for, well, almost since the beginning of time.
from that experience of being excluded at Lambeth so dramatically, there you are presenting the invocation of President Barack Obama's inauguration. I mean, talk about a case of whiplash.
Yeah, it was like from the agony to the ecstasy, really. And I kept pinching myself thinking, how did I get here? How did I get to this moment? But, you know, the thing that really astounds me about that is God will work for justice for all, and especially for the most vulnerable. And if the church won't cooperate with God in that effort, then God will go outside the church. And isn't it interesting that the president-elect would ask me to do that and, in a way, dignify the lives of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people when the church won't in so many places and in so many contexts.
Now, from that, the film takes us to the American Episcopal Convention in 2009 and its dramatic vote in favor of allowing the consecration of openly gay bishops and allowing the blessing of same-sex marriages in the states where it's allowed. You, of course, had a lot on the line in that vote. How important was that outcome in your view?
First of all, it was completely unexpected, the outcome. I mean, there were people telling Mackey that there was no use his being at the convention because the church was simply going to be too timid to move forward at that time, maybe in another 3 years. But it really restored my faith in organized religion. So at the end of the day, it was totally inspiring. But I have to say, the dramatic progress that we made was virtually unexpected on my part and that of many, many other people. Mm.
And on your part as well, Mackey Alston, right?
I was shocked. Everybody was saying, nothing's going to happen. You might as well just go home. And what was most dramatic in the General Convention is not Gene this time standing up, but this groundswell of people. You know, the 18-year-old lesbian who said, I'm out of here if you don't open your doors to me. And her friend, an 18-year-old heterosexual girl who told about a friend of hers who committed suicide at church camp. And then the mom who wanted her son to be able to be married in her beloved church. And the other bishops who began to come out. And you could watch the people who came into the conference thinking, no way, we are not going to rock the boat any more than we already have. The global church is going to fragment if we keep pushing.
Bishop Robinson, before that vote by the American Episcopal Convention, there was some wonderfully compelling tape from bishops saying they liked you. Some even said you're a friend. They respected you, but they just couldn't vote in favor of these measures. Let's listen to this one piece of tape.
I'm so sorry. I just want my gay and lesbian friends to know that you're not the only ones who've hurt so much over this, wept and prayed. But we've got to decide as individual Christians what is prophetic and what is apostasy. And I'm going to have to vote against this. And I can't apologize and I can't celebrate. I've just got to be who I am, like you are who you are.
What's your response to people who still have that view and who are clearly struggling with enormous pain and conscience over that decision?
You know, I love this woman and her place in the film because it speaks for many people of deep and abiding faith who can't quite be with us yet. But you know what? They're at the table. They're talking. They're doing what I believe we are called to do in this particular time, which is to hold on to one another while we figure this out. You know, I think at the moment, the greatest sin is leaving the table, which is why Lambeth was such a disappointment. To be excluded from the table seems to me to be the worst sin right now. What we all need to be doing is exactly what this woman did, which is to be at the table, to stay at the table, to tell her truth while she listened to our truth, and still be church at the same time. And, you know, at the end of the day, this woman and I make our way to the communion rail as humbly as we can and receive the body and blood of Christ and find our unity there while we will continue to disagree about this for a while.
My question to you is, why is it important for the American Episcopal Church to remain a part of the Anglican Communion, which overall seems so much more conservative and less progressive than the American Episcopals?
We all need one another. I would like to think that the more conservative Anglicans around the world need to hear what we have to say as gay and lesbian people. But you know what? American Episcopalians need to hear from our brothers and sisters overseas about what American hegemony is doing around the world, the fact that we throw our weight around, we have been a part of a colonialist past, and we need that feedback from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the fact of the matter is, the Anglican Communion was supposed to come to an end on the day of my consecration, and then it was going to be the next meeting of the bishops or the next meeting of this group or that group. And the fact of the matter is, we're 9 years since my consecration, and the Anglican Communion still exists. Hmm. And I think that's a very good thing.
Mackie Alston, one last question for you. You spent years making this film, following Bishop Robinson around. How did your view of him change over the course of making this film?
One of the greatest revelations in making this film is that even though Bishop Robinson, Gene, says that it's an accident of history that he was cast in this role, can you imagine bearing the weight of all this scrutiny for 9 years? 9 years of death threats, 9 years of 80 million people wondering when you're going to fall, when you're going to falter, and prove the fact that gay people are really no good. On any given day, I falter. And the whole world has been watching Gene for 9 years.
Bishop Robinson, I wanted to ask you about that burden. You didn't choose it. How do you make sense of it now and this role that you were thrust into?
I resisted the call to the episcopate, to the role of being a bishop, for a long time because I knew it would not be easy. But honestly, in my prayer life, God just wouldn't leave me alone about this. So I have really had the understanding that that I was called to this. This is part of the movement towards justice that God wants to have happen. But, you know, in addition to the burden, which I have to say is with me on a daily basis, this has been an extraordinary privilege and honor to speak for that whole gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community in places that are not quite ready yet to hear it, while at the same time making the pitch for God and for the church in the gay community. And to have a foot in both of those worlds and to feel like you have the opportunity to speak in both directions is really an indescribable honor.
Well, Bishop Gene Robinson, Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire, and Mackie Alston, documentary filmmaker and director of Love Free or Die, thank you both very, very much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The film Love Free or Die will be on the screen tomorrow night at the Somerville Theater as part of the Boston Independent Film Festival. There's more information about all this at radioboston.org.
And just a thought, while you're there at our website, you can always leave us a note about what you think about the show, anything you hear, your comments and questions and critiques and criticisms are always welcome. Again, that's radioboston.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mawsey, and Amory Sievertson. Our interns are Annie Ropeek and Mira Sharma.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. I'll be away for the next few days, but Meghna will be here holding down the fort in her capable way. So as always, come back tomorrow for more Radio Boston.